The word of our triune God this morning is recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning with verse 11. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, dear brothers and sisters, we are living in a society full of knowledge and information, recorded knowledge spiraling greater and bigger and faster perhaps than at any other time in the history of the world. Here are some stats to prove it. There is more information in a weekday edition of the USA Today than most people in the 1700s would have encountered in their entire lives. Knowledge is exploding at an amazing rate. Some estimate it more than 2,000 pages per minute. To break that down, if you read 24 hours a day from age 21 to age 70 and retained all that you read, you would be 1.5 million years behind when you finished. It's going that quickly. We are saturated with facts and knowledge and information. And I bet if the people in the 1700s would hear these stats, they would have thought, wow, it would be great then to live in the 2000-somethings. Because with all that knowledge and all that brilliance, I'm sure that they would have figured out a way to work out all of their problems. But you know, that's not true either. With all of this accelerating knowledge, there's still things we can't comprehend, still things that we can't figure out. There are still brilliant physicians and scientists who can't figure out the cure to certain diseases. There are brilliant scientists who still gaze out into the galaxy and say, wow, we don't quite understand where this all goes or ends. Or, you know, let's bring this a little bit further down to day-to-day life. There are still times where you can't figure out how those updates on your phone work. At least I can't. You still don't know where you left your glasses. You still don't understand what you even do at times in life. For all this knowledge, it doesn't necessarily mean that we still don't struggle at times. There's a story once I heard about a man named Henry Smith. He was arrested moments after returning home with a stolen stereo. His error? On his forehead in large capital letters, he had the word tattooed Henry Smith. His lawyer said my client is not a very bright young man. There was another story about a man named John Bloor. This man, John, mistook a tube of super glue for his hemorrhoid cream. That is all I'm going to say about that. In the end, some would say, yeah, we have all this knowledge, but we're just standing on the shoulders of those who've gone before us. The more we learn, the more we know, it seems like the more we realize there's still more to know, and we don't know it, and we never quite will. And that is perhaps nowhere more evident in the church than on this Sunday, Trinity Sunday. Well, we're Trinity Lutheran Church. We should know all about this. Well, we do know some things about this. The Bible tells us. The Bible is clear that this entity we call the Trinity is our God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, it says in the book of Deuteronomy. So we say, okay, how many gods are there? There's one God. Yay, one God. Monotheism, monotheism, one God. But then we hear these other passages that talk about a Father and a Son and the Holy Spirit, and how they're all equal God, yet they're all distinct. And we say, okay, so there's one God, but there's three persons. But there's not three gods. There's one God. And each one is equal to the other and united with the other and yet distinct. And yeah, we come up with triangles. We come up with three-leaf clovers to try to get this in our brains. But you know what? In the end, we can't. We cannot fully comprehend the majesty and the glory and the awesomeness of our God. He's too big. But that's not bad news. That should leave us to celebrate and say, wow, we have a God that's so big, He's smarter than we are, that we can't fully comprehend Him. That's fine. But then that should also lead us to recognize, if this God is so big, so awesome, so powerful that we can't comprehend Him, well, it would make sense that we would listen to Him. In fact, if this God is above all creation, well, this God would probably know what's best for me. So therefore, I could probably rest my entire life in the hands of this triune God. And if I really take Him at His word that He is almighty and powerful and loving, then I really wouldn't need to fear. I really wouldn't need to worry. And I really could trust in Him above all things. Well, and certainly when life is punching me in the face and kicking me in the gut, I would know that I have a triune God that I can pray to, that I can go to, that I can run to. And oh yes, certainly the other toys and pleasures of life might give me some joy, but I mean, they're trinkets compared to the Trinity. So they wouldn't even get close in my priority system to my dedication to this triune God and His word. Oh, but it's one thing to say He's triune in church and another thing to live it in my day-to-day life. Maybe you've had this problem too. And this is what doesn't make sense, more than not comprehending the truths of the Trinity. This triune God who's over all, I'll exchange Him sometimes for trinkets, for idols, for other things I run off to in my life to try to fill the hole in my heart that only a triune God could. Oh God, You're powerful, You're great, but you know what? I need an answer now to this or that problem and this or that fear. And I don't know if You're there, and I don't know if You're plugged in or chucked in, God. So I need to do something on my own to take care of this. Or if I really believed these truths, comprehended them in the sense that He is overall a God who sees and knows all things, then, well, I don't understand. That's a powerful God too. A loving God, yes, but a powerful God. A powerful God who's not to be played with. But I play with sin, and so do you. And at times, this doesn't make sense either, at times you and I think that we can squirrel away this sin or that, that our triune God really won't see that, or that He really won't care, or that He'll just pat us on the head and say, oh, that's fine. But the truths of the Trinity tell us something different. It says that this God who is above all things can see all things. He sees our laziness with His word and our zeal to know the latest pop culture and memorize the stats of our favorite sports teams and binge stream our favorite shows, but yawn at His holy word. He sees the lust and the anger and the fear in our hearts. He sees our spiritual apathy. He sees those sins that we don't want to see ourselves and want to pretend that aren't there. The motivations of our heart that cause us such trouble. He sees it all and He knows it all. And there's nowhere to hide. And that's good news. Why? Well, if our God is so big that He can see and know all things, then He saw and knew exactly what would be needed to save a sinner like me and you too. And so our God, who created the universe and the world, had this one great thought, this one supreme idea over it all. He said, I want to be one with my creation. I want to live with them forever. I want them to bask in the presence of the triune God. And so God the Father, in amazing grace, undeserved love, came up with a plan to send His Son for you and me. And He sent Jesus to earth to live among us, the greatest miracle the world has ever seen. And the love of Jesus compelled Him. Oh, you didn't compel Him with your attitudes and your good pledges and your works and your deeds. All that is filthy rags without Him, but He was compelled by His own love. An agape love, the Bible says, a love that it's unconditional, that has nothing to do with what you decided to do or not do. He decided to live for you and die on a cross. God Himself dead on a cross. Figure that one out, but it's true. And He did it for you. And then to make fellowship with God, to be one again, the Holy Spirit came to make fellowship with you. We talked about that last week with Pentecost, but in a miraculous way, the Holy Spirit lives in your heart and in your mind. It was impossible for you to believe in this triune God on your own, but the Holy Spirit made it possible. And now lives in you to unite you to Him, so that the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is wrapped around you. And that is the most profound and amazing miracle of all. And that's what Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians and promising to you and me. But now this is pretty neat, that God who created the world and who loves you is not done with you. He has another plan. A plan for you who He saved. And this is the plan. That you would live in peace with one another. That you would encourage one another. That you would be of one mind. That you would greet one another with a holy kiss. And that last part, maybe that weirded you out a little bit. Wait a second, Pastor. Greet one another with a holy kiss. This seems a little bit weird. Okay. Calm down. Don't worry. You don't literally need to kiss one another. In the ancient world, that was a common way, though, of greeting one another. It still takes place in some parts of the world. Kiss, kiss on each side of the cheek. If you want to try this after church, I won't look at you like you're weird. But it was a common way of greeting one another in peace. What's God saying? He's saying now that the triune God lives in you, you can live in a different way towards each other. You can be kind and gentle, and that peace and grace that pours into your heart and releases your heart from guilt and death, well, now you can pour that peace upon one another and be kind to one another and gentle and compassionate. And do you think that's going to be easy? No. Why? Well, let's get real. Because a holy kiss might not be the first instinct that you have when your dear little child rolls his or her eyes at you one more time. A kiss isn't exactly what you want to give that little child. And a holy kiss might not be what you want to give your parents who tend to exasperate you at times, children who never listen. And a holy kiss might not be first on your mind for your spouse who doesn't always greet you with a pleasant tit of kisses after a long day at work. And even in the body of Christ, a holy kiss might not be your first reaction when someone took the last parking spot out there and you were wearing heels and they weren't. And a holy kiss might not be your reaction when they disagree with what you want to do in the church and they don't get what's supposed to be done. Of course, this isn't the way we want to act towards each other, and that's why we need the miracle of a triune God. And so God comes to us again in word and sacrament, crucifying our old nature day by day and pouring out upon us His holiness, His peace, His joy, changing the way that we are and the way that we act towards one another. And the only way that we can do this and believe this is with this promise that this triune God, the God of love and peace, will be with you. That's what Paul says. Did you catch that? The triune God of the universe, the one for whom the mountains are minuscule, is with you. Every day, every moment, that triune God is with you. He's with you as you share that love in home or work. He's with you when you go to the doctor or the dentist. He's with you in life and in death. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will be with you now and always because He loves you with a love that cannot be fully comprehended. So listen up. Take this truth and stick it in your mind and in your heart. It is not Trinitarian trivia. Let this truth live in you when you wake up in the morning, when you plop your head down on the pillow at night, when you go forth, wherever you go, know that you are not alone, but rather the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is with you now and forever. What a miracle. Amen.